Good morning. I'm Dan Brown. Good morning and welcome. God has invited us here, and we're at home in his presence. Let us worship. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK, and all of those who join us online on our website at zionlisur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled Storage Wars by Pastor Jan. Only one short trip to the church will assure that you and your family will be part of our pictorial directory. The whole process takes about 45 minutes to an hour, and each family will be photographed and receive a complimentary 8 by 10 portrait that will be sent postage free to their home. Plus, they will receive a personal complimentary directory. August is Zion's Food Shelf Month. Volunteers are needed to help at the food shelf. There's a sign-up sheet on the table. Lisur Food Shelf is accepting donations and supplies for local students. Bring your donation to Zion this month, in the month of August. Supplies will be available at the Lisur Food Shelf. Watch for the Zion unit at the Giant Day Parade today. All members interested in riding on the float should meet at church at 11:45 this morning. The parade begins at 1 p.m. For those watching the parade, cheer loudly as the float goes by. Your financial support to the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep worship services available to those who are unable to attend. Now please welcome John Piaski for a short announcement.
Thank you, Dan. I just wanted to lift up on behalf of the Fellowship Committee that we are going to have our yearly fundraiser. It's called the Silent Supper, and those envelopes will be going out. As you know, the Fellowship Committee is quite busy with a number of activities from the annual meeting to special events and such like that. But I think the other part I want to lift up is there's about 15 missions that the Fellowship Committee has sponsored for a number of years, and we continue to do that. But we can only do some of that stuff with your support. So give generously, if you can, to the Silent Supper when you get that envelope in the mail shortly. Thank you.
Each day we live is a gift. A gift from God. And what you do with today is your gift of worship to Him. So let's not waste it. Living only for this world. Living only for ourselves. We will set our hearts on things above. We will shake loose the shackles of this earth. We will break the chains of sin. For in sin there is only death, and our desire is to live. To live exposed to the light. To live in the fullness of Christ. Today, we will reflect Jesus to our friends and neighbors and to our enemies. We will accept the gift of this moment and live it with compassion and kindness, patience and forgiveness, joy and peace. We will live it with love. This is our gift of worship. To take this moment God has given us and give it away.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? Jesus calls us to be the light of the world, to loose the bonds of injustice, open the eyes that are blind, and deliver from prison those who sit in darkness. God invites us to be a light to the nations, to carry God's salvation to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, giving us strength to do God's work. We worship and live in God's hope for us and for the world. Please join together now in the singing of Be Now My Vision, standing as you are able as we sing. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for us. Therefore, with confidence, we pray together our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we neglect to build our lives upon your word. We aspire to lesser dreams and unsatisfactory goals. We renown, wealth, and achievement. We bow before leisure, comfort, and physical pleasures. We trade your word for broken foundations, and then we wonder at our unhappiness. Forgive us these sins of idolatry and pride, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may build our lives on you and know the fullness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, this saying is true and worthy of universal acceptance, that Christ Jesus died to rescue sinners. He personally bore our sins in his body on the cross, that you and I might be dead to sin and alive to all that's new and good. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. As God's own people, forgiven and set free, let us greet one another with peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We begin our time of prayer this morning first in the silent meditations of our own hearts. Let us pray. God of life, creator of fields and rivers and trees and streams, creator of the wonder of the changing seasons, Lord, there's no end to the wonderful things that you have done. Help us to receive all these gifts as stewards of the earth you've entrusted us with. Help us to joyfully experience your presence within us and all around us. We're here today in awe, in gratitude and humility for the rising up of our Lord on the third day, for his Holy Spirit granted to us that we may be strong in faith. We pray, Lord, for the courage of the apostles who dared to proclaim the good news. Work in us that way. Give to us that same patience and kindness of the disciples who cared for one another. Help us to share with those who've lost hope. Lord, we've been loved and formed by so many, fed and cared for by so many. When we pray for your people, Lord, for those who hope and those who suffer, we pray for all the people who've made a way for us. We thank you, God, for their living witness. And we remember today the many people and situations that weigh upon our hearts. People who are ill. People who are in need of healing. We pray for Terry Fahey, for Ron and Franny Garris, for Joanne Colbert, for Marilyn Johnson and John Lathe. We lift them up before you, Lord, trusting in your goodness, thanking you for the healing that has already been accomplished for so many of us here in this congregation. Especially, Lord, we are grateful for the healing of little Hilda. We pray for those who are in grief that they may find comfort in their memories. And thanking you, gracious God, for the assurance of our salvation. Now make a way for us, Lord, to dispense with things that are of no use for your kingdom. Make a way for us to do right by one another. In these times where we perceive only scarcity, make us aware of your abundance. We thank you, Lord, for the joys that are ours, and especially this morning, we're grateful for the birthday of Colleen Zeebart here among us today. Bless her, Lord, and all those who celebrate life this day. All these things, gracious God, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught his own disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. "So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word. Amen."
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, there was a farmer who lived alone in the countryside except for his old dog that he loved dearly. And sadly, one day, the old dog died, and the farmer went to his pastor and asked him to hold a funeral for the dog. Pastor Ole Olsen told the farmer, "No, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to have a funeral for animals in the church. But I'll tell you what, there's a new church down the road, and maybe they would do a funeral for your dog." The farmer said, "Well, thanks. I'll go there right now. And by the way, do you think $50,000 is enough to donate for such a service?" To which Pastor Olsen replied, "Why didn't you tell me the dog was Lutheran?" These scripture lessons this morning raise some deeper questions about human nature. I have a confession to make. Whenever this passage from the gospel has come up over the last 40 years of my career, I've always chosen the other readings to preach from. What does that say about me? A little bit of avoidance. This gospel lesson today asks us, where's the line between financial responsibility on the one hand and greed on the other? Where's the boundary lines of living life to the fullest on the one hand and being in denial about the reality of death? I want to tell you this morning about Jared Olsen. He understood those boundary lines. He was the golden boy in his family, the son of a single mom, and as the firstborn, Jared had the dubious honor of always rescuing somebody in the family from an impending disaster. Just before Christmas, back in 2015, Jared graduated from a local community college in Duluth, and he landed his boiler operator license. He was on top of the world. A new car, his first apartment, the prospect of starting a career that was going to help lift his family up out of poverty. And then one cold, bitter night in January of 2015, Jared left a party at his friend's house. His friend lived in Cloquet. And he left early, knowing that he would need to show up at his new job. The wind chill that night was 25 degrees below zero. As Jared got up to leave the party, his friend asked him, "Please, why don't you just stay the night and go back to Duluth tomorrow morning?" But Jared, conscious of that new responsibility, said, "Don't worry, I'll be fine." So his friend shouted out the door as Jared left, "Hey, call me when you get home, okay?" But the call never came. The gospel lesson this morning from Luke chapter 12 speaks to us about some of our deepest fears. The silence at the other end of the phone. The sudden loss of somebody that we love very much. And the nagging anxiety that comes to all of us at times when we consider our own mortality. In this parable this morning, we hear about a man who's not so very different from all of us, and how, after congratulating himself on his plans for a long and comfortable retirement, the man learns that he's about to die. And with all those considerable riches left up in the air in the hands of who knows who. You don't have to be an expert on the Bible to know that from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible has an awful lot to say on both the subject of money and the subject of death. This parable for today is an example of that. It begins with Jesus teaching before a large crowd, when suddenly, from somewhere in the crowd, a man shouts out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." And Jesus replies, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Jesus was challenging the crowd that day to think about the powerful hold that our possessions have over us. And I can give witness to that this morning because I'm moving from storage units to a new place. Talk about an abundance that my kids would like me to clear out. Now, to prove his point in this story, Jesus could have done what most rabbis did back in those days. He could have pointed out the demands of the Jewish law laid out there in the books of Deuteronomy and Numbers. And Jesus might have quoted the prophets, Isaiah and Micah, to convict this man of the sin of greed. But Jesus didn't roll out the law. He didn't mention the prophets. Instead, he told a story. Jesus was always doing that. In this story, the rich man hasn't really done anything wrong. He's not evil. He's not cruel. He's not been accused of a crime. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't really sound greedy. Not like Ebenezer Scrooge, anyway. He's careful with his money. He's conservative and cautious, and he was so pleased with himself. And yet, from the very moment that Jesus begins his story, we somehow get the feeling that the story is about to take a tragic turn. But this isn't one of those stories where you could really predict the ending, because we don't really see this one coming. In fact, in introducing this main character, it's hard not to feel sympathy for him. He's not like Bernie Madoff, swindling unsuspecting people. He's not a pharmaceutical company making a profit off all the suffering of addicts. He's made an honest living. And having accumulated more than he really needs at the moment, he plans to build bigger and bigger storage barns where his possessions are going to be safe, where they'll sustain him for many years. And then suddenly, out of the blue, the voice of God thunders this terrible judgment. "You fool! This very night your life will be demanded of you." That sent the audience reeling back in shock. And you and I, even after years of hearing this gospel lesson, we're cringing just a little bit, aren't we? If this guy's a fool, for heaven's sake, what does that make us? What kind of judgment can this be that condemns a man for simply protecting his own interests? Well, it's a judgment that's not just reserved for the wealthy. In fact, it's a judgment that could just as easily fall upon poor people. So what, you might ask, was his mistake? He's living only for himself. Did you notice how this man, throughout the story, is talking to himself, making plans for himself, patting himself on the back? He even carries on a conversation with his own soul. Soul, he says, eat, drink, and be merry. I, me, my goods, my storage barns, my future. In other words, this man has become the center of his own little universe. Never even seems to have entered his mind that death could come at any moment. And please be aware that when God speaks those words to him, it is not God who is delivering the sentence of death. Sometimes preachers confuse that. It's not God sending death to the man. God is simply replicating there what happens to all of us who walk the earth. What's the definition of being a fool? Here, it's not an insult. Here, Jesus is repeating for the crowd a theological term. It's not a condemnation of the man. It's simply a statement of fact based on Proverbs. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's the definition at work here. It's this failure that all of us fall into sometimes to recognize the power of God, to recognize the hand of God in all things given to us. You see, God didn't create us so that we could just accumulate more and more possessions. We weren't created to fill up basements and attics and storage units. Tell that to my kids. That's simply not the way of Jesus. Remember how Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. He didn't mean enough for a week or a year or enough to fill up a warehouse somewhere out on the edge of town. Jesus is actually repeating what happened with the Israelites out in the wilderness when they received the manna. If they stored it up, it would rot. You see, hoarding property is more than just acquiring things. It's a way of life we adopt. It's a way of living only for ourselves, distancing ourselves, disconnecting, cutting ourselves off from other people. And when we store up, life becomes all about us. Listen to that man's conversation again. No mention of care or concern for anybody else but himself. His storage problems have blinded him to that fact. Listen again to what Jesus says. Life isn't all about what you own. Somewhere deep inside, we already know that, don't we? We really do. It's not news to us, and here's why I say that. I want you to think this morning about the day you got married, or the day you held your firstborn child or your grandchild in your arms. Think about the times that you were holding them close and whispering in their ear all the plans and hopes you had for them. Think about the faces of children at school or on the playground, or the children who come up here for baptism. Do you remember that? What would be your greatest hope and dream for those children, for your spouse? What have you been praying for? A fancy house? A shiny new car? A closet full of designer clothes? Were you praying that they'd always be on the winning team? Did you hope they'd be number one? Being more powerful, more important than everybody else? I'm guessing not. Because somewhere deep inside all of us, we already know this precious truth that Christ gave to us. Life does not consist in the abundance of what we own. In fact, I'm betting that you prayed that that child, that spouse of yours, that grandchild or niece or nephew was going to have a meaning and a purpose in their life. You hoped their life would be filled with joy. You probably wished for them a world of peace. Maybe you prayed that they would look in the mirror each day and see the worth and value that they have. That they'd place their trust in the living God. In other words, you were hoping that they would be, as the gospel says, rich toward God. Being rich toward God is living with the same kind of generosity that God has shown toward us. That's the prayer of every parent, every grandparent, to live for their child, for the children around them, to let their very life be a gift. Jared Olson was just such a gift. He was the answer to his mother's prayers. And she went to bed that cold winter night without the usual phone call from her number one son. And then sometime just shortly before midnight, as she slept, Jared's car spun out on the icy road outside Duluth, slid down a steep embankment, and struck a tree. At 5:30 the next morning, a 911 call came in to report a 2015 Dodge Charger wrapped around a tree. And a few minutes later, my hospital pager sounded, and it said, 23-year-old white male, single car crash, multiple cervical spine fractures, pupils fixed and dilated. I know we have some people in the congregation who have a medical background. Those terms mean to you that Jared had no hope of survival. And for 3 days, Jared's family walked in and out of the ICU in this fog of grief and shock. And in time, Jared's own mother, Holly, came to this agonizing realization that her son, being on life support, was never going to come back. And she complained to me one day, "Pastor Jan, the organ donation people just don't understand what we're going through. We can't just let them tear into Jared. He belongs to us." But I think I know now what Jared would want us to do. And what is that, Holly? Jared's heart is still beating. And I guess I'd like to know that somewhere in this world, that beautiful heart of his is going to give life to somebody else. 10 days later, at Jared's memorial service, his sister stood up to the 450 people in Cloquet who came to celebrate his life. And she said this, "My brother never held back anything from us, his family and friends. And I know all of you here today will remember him that way. But we're not the only ones thankful for him. Today, a man in La Crosse has a new heart. A young woman in St. Paul no longer needs dialysis. Today, a man in Chicago will be able to see through Jared's eyes. Seek the things that are above. The things of life that hold the deepest meaning. Those things can't be stored up. We can't hold on to them in life, nor can even death withhold them. They can only be given away. And Zion, that's what we behold in the life of Christ. That's what we come to celebrate. That's what we come to receive the strength from Christ at this table before us today. Seek the things that are above. Amen. Will our ushers please come forward now for the morning offering? A reminder to all of you that all who know Jesus Christ to be their Savior are welcome here at this table. Please join with me now in our liturgy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. You are holy, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch, yet was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice, and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart, and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb. And at his command, the gates of hell were opened. To the amazement and joy of his followers, Jesus greeted them on the third day. Holy One, as your risen Son was made known to them in the breaking of bread, be revealed to us this day. We praise you for his living presence among us, and therefore with the whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we worship you and sing with joy. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, send out your Holy Spirit that we and your entire church may be called out and made whole through the receiving of the bread and cup. Grant that all who share in the communion of the body and blood of your Son may be united as one in him. May we all remain faithful in love and hope until we feast with your saints at table with Christ in heaven. Amen. We join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the dying and rising of our Lord until he comes again." Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
of Christ given for you. Let us pray. Lord God, in deep gratitude for this moment, for the bread and the cup, and for these people around us, we rededicate ourselves to you. Let us depart from this place as changed people, because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Restore to us our vision and passion for serving you. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us. So, Lord, may we live to your glory, both as inhabitants of the earth and citizens of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the body and blood of our Lord strengthen you and keep you in his grace and true faith, until we feast with him in glory. Amen. Let's join together now in our closing hymn, We Give Thee But Thine Own. peace. Share the good news.
Thanks.